Hey everyone, this is Austin Schur here with We Write About Music, and I am back on once again with Wildcat Hawkins. He has another new album, which is not a surprise in the slightest. It is called Serpent Seed, and I'm super excited to talk to him all about it. How have you been? It hasn't been that long. What's going on, man? What's the update?
Oh, it's going great, Austin. It's nice to be back and talk a little music with you. I've been busy.
Clearly.
This yeah, just I am working in a car wash right now as a car wash attendant, and I like this job quite
Nice.
a bit because it allows me to get into the gym. So
Oh, nice.
I'm looking for some upgrade of my employment in like the meantime. So I may be
Sure.
trying to pick up a 10-day contract in the NBA or possibly
I mean,
over in
hey.
something in China, maybe. I don't know if it'll happen exactly, but I'm training a little nowadays.
Nice, man. I mean, listen, any employment is good employment. It's paying you, it's paying the bills, it's keeping you busy, and it sounds like there's a decent enough work-life balance to where you can still get stuff done.
Yeah, there have been some ladies trying to get at me lately, but the thing is, what I was telling you, I'm not against people getting into relationships. It's just that when you get with the wrong person, it can be a sexual energy problem because what people aren't always
Absolutely.
they're not prepared for the fact that let's say it is a year or 2 years with somebody, it could be a year before you feel normal again.
Oh, totally true, man. Relationships are tough, to say the least. I can speak from it from personal experience, but I know it's tough just with like living life and, being an independent person and doing your own thing. Obviously, you're busy, you're working, you're making music, you have a life. What are some difficulties on that end?
Well, what I decided to do last weekend was just use my energy in a different way than meeting up with somebody. So I went ahead and recorded 12 songs. So I have a live acoustic project that I'll be sharing.
Amazing.
So it's what I've been telling you. I need to get some stuff on my Spotify that sounds like seeing me in concert. That's the thing.
Yes.
Ben Folds did cart a baby grand around to small punk clubs from the beginning because he said,
Yeah.
I play acoustic piano or nothing, Ben said.
I love that, man. That's
But
incredible.
I gotta stick with acoustic guitar though, because I'm not as resourceful as Ben, so
Well, that's, I want to get to that in a little bit, but I want to talk about this record first. Last time we talked was not that long ago. We talked about your past record. But fast forward what seems like maybe 2 or 3 weeks and we've got another new record. You literally can't stop, and it's the best thing ever. The record is called Serpent Seed, and I really enjoy this one. I say that about all of them, but this one, I mean it as well. It's got a really nice, even mix of piano and guitar and a rawness. And before we started recording, you were sort of describing it a little bit. I'd love for you just to describe the record for people out there that haven't enjoyed.
the thing about what I've been doing lately, as far as Emerald Vision and Serpent Seed go, and there's more of that coming with this project I alluded to called Natural Causes. There's more coming, but what I'm sharing is kind of like a crust punk almost, I'd say. And what it really amounts to is some type of grunge. What people might not know is that my first sound was grunge, actually. So when I'm playing live, you will hear some idiosyncratic, like jazzy indie type of stuff that's just. These are just wildcat isms, basically.
Okay.
But if I was to tell you what do I really sound like, what I would say is I sound kind of like Zeppelin in some ways. But when I'm playing acoustic, it sounds like Neil Young, sounds like David Gilmour, Pink Floyd. It sounds like Nirvana. It sounds like Pearl Jam. It sounds like Green Day. It sounds like Smashing Pumpkins, and it sounds like Radiohead. There you go.
I mean, if you like any of those bands, that's all the reason to listen.
That's what I actually sound like, is that
Right.
right there.
Well, that's the thing, and that's sort of the difficult part here is you talk about live shows, you talk about putting things together, and so much of your music is improv. Do you ever find that when you return to playing these songs, that it becomes difficult to remember all of the compositions?
Well, since I started cranking out improvised music, I haven't been gigging is the thing. So
Sure.
I've created so many songs over the years, and some of them are about half improvised. What I want to present on the album is like a Grateful Dead concert, but in album format.
I mean, that's a tall order right there, because that's difficult. Are you what is getting you ready for that type of thing?
All my gigs, basically, when I play a gig, it's the same as the Grateful Dead. It could be 3 minutes one night, it could be 5 minutes the other night. There could be two, the chorus could appear twice one night, it could appear five times another night. There could be a totally different addendas added in and different. So that's just, I like to improvise, but I love to do it when I have an idea of what the song is in the first place.
Of course. Do you see yourself potentially creating different versions of these same songs in terms of like the layout of them, the way you sing them, or just anything else along those lines?
I do.
Okay. Okay. Is that because of the improv, or is it just because you want to give people a different live experience?
The reason why is because there are different levels, layers of appeal to some of my songs that I write from a songwriter perspective. So, like, I'm also interested in the idea of other people covering my songs too. That's another way to make it happen. It's like, let's hear this a different way.
Right.
I'm just, what you know, one thing with me is classical music is one of my influences, you would say, and I'm interested in variations on themes. And hearing different versions is something that I really like a lot. So I will, at the very least, produce different versions of these kind of songs at some point. If I have a major label debut with, I'm not going to tell you who I may or may not have been talking with, but
that's okay.
If that type of thing comes around, that's where I don't have to pay for like mix engineers myself and big ass consoles we plug into and stuff.
No, I completely understand. And I think that's kind of the special thing. Listen, I see a ton of concerts and I love when the band, you know, if there's a song that you really like and they play it to the T, I'm there for it. I enjoy it. But I feel like so much of the live experience is seeing the band kind of switch things up and try new things and create different layers to a song that you already loved. So it feels like that's kind of what you're going for here, which I think is super special.
I have this problem where people are getting to know me as an artist, but because of how I can be just horribly shy sometimes, and also I don't know how to connect with people sometimes, and thankfully I'm in therapy now for the first time ever, which is helping, and I've known that I know that I have TS. I did not know that before, but basically what I'll say is that I didn't go on all these tours, you see, so like people didn't see me, like everyone's already, oh yeah, we know what it's like to see a Phish concert because they come to our city and we see it. But people don't know what it's like to see my concert. So I have to share my concert with you, that type of experience with improvised music on my Spotify.
Right. Dude, I love that so much. The fact that you consider the people that listen to your music, and then you also try to surprise yourself, which is not an easy thing to do, especially at the rate that you release music. I can't imagine having like the catalog in my head to be like, yeah, I can play almost any song possible. But I think it also helps that you can switch it up and do your own thing during a live performance.
Some of these catheads are pissed off at me for not playing acoustic enough. And I don't blame them, because it's wrong for an artist like me to have years pass without playing my guitar at all. What I was really known for was playing my Strat, actually.
Nice.
And I'll be sharing that more with people later. But yeah, I think effects pedals and gizmos are cool and stuff, but what we were all about was like, let's get that nonsense out of here. When I played with the Loose Juices, I would just plug my Strat into an electric guitar and turn on some gain. That was my special effect.
Very cool, man. All right, let's talk a little bit more about Serpent Seed. It is a relatively shorter album, which I like. You know, you get straight to the point. There's no filler. It's just a great full listen. How did you go about, I mean, I want to talk about other stuff, but how did you go about even sorting the track list? Because I find that it does a really even flow, sort of switching between the piano and acoustic, and it keeps you guessing.
So when I went into the weekend, I wanted to try to be open to the possibility of improvising a lot of music, and also be intuitive in the sense of which of my songs that I've already written that I might want to try a version of.
Okay.
And what I didn't, you know, you were asking me about this with Emerald Vision. I didn't quite get to it, but some of those songs had been written in the can for some time, but I created, you know, a version of them that just came out with a certain expression that was not pre-planned.
Okay. No, that's actually a good point. So I'm going to say, I can't imagine that every single thing you write ends up on the same record. It's nice to have those demos. It's nice to have those stems and ideas that end up on later records. It actually might make things easier for you instead of being like, okay, I need to start over, create a new concept, and do the whole thing over again. That must be really nice.
I have a pretty deep list of songs that are good enough to be like considered worth my time to put on to, like, let's say I did get together with Ryan Adams or someone. I would trust Ben Folds to help me with my recording, someone good.
Oh, yeah.
And I did something really, really, really fancy like that with Ben or Ryan or somebody. And it was like, yeah, I've got about 30 songs that are worth the time for a project that serious. So I'm not running out of songs.
Absolutely. And like every single one of your records, there's always some amazing story that comes with it. I know that, you know, like you just said, a lot of these songs came from different ideas on the past record, but there's got to be something here that you can share in terms of how this one was created.
I'll let you in on something. This song Canary was a song I'd already written.
Okay.
And I was down in the hole, right? I haven't, where I'm at right now, this is Wildcat World HQ at my aunt's basement where I live. This
Sure.
corner has, it's a small room reverb, but the thing is, it's a recess in this floor plan. So one side is open, and I cover up part of that open side with panels. So my acoustic, and I have a mattress to my right along this. So
nice.
Everything in here is an acoustic chamber that I plan carefully in here.
Yeah.
So that's part of it. And that came into play once it was ready. Once I had the kind of acoustics that are in here are very attractive. So all I do is set down my cell phone and I get the mic placement correct. And then I go, there's no mixing. But Canary was an idea I had in the past. And I was just kind of sitting there and I was really in the mood due to the fact that I was eating boomers again. So I was sitting there and I said, what if I tried for a version of Canary? My hand feels pretty stiff. Oh, well, I don't think that'll be any trouble. It's a finger picking thing. Oh,
yeah.
Who cares? Let's try anyway. So I took a shot and I liked the sound of it. It was a little weird. I thought this is a little psychedelic maybe, and maybe that's a good thing.
Absolutely. Listen, okay, one of my favorite things truly is getting to know people's recording spaces, because the question that everyone has for artists that they enjoy listening to the record with headphones is, where did you record it? What kind of mics did you use? Was it 3 feet away? Was it 2 feet away? Like, people love that stuff. I love that stuff.
Yep.
And I hear it. And I'm not joking. I hear it. Truly, like, my first listen through this record, I always listen in similar ways, but I have really nice headphones, not these pieces of crap, really nice headphones. And I kind of like put myself into the space. The immediate thing that I noticed just hitting the play on the first song was the amount of reverb and the slight amount of psychedelia because of that reverb. I thought maybe it was part of the mixing. Maybe it was part of the production. I mean, listen, you know, people pay tons of money to get that sound because they don't know how to create it themselves. But you literally are just in this room making this music, and that's how it came out. And I feel like that's sort of priceless.
The kind of like the Tao of Wildcat Hawkins has always been like, I'm a nerd, like working in a car wash at a gas station, and I'm just stoned like Kevin Smith, but I also like am qualified to like make $1 million boutique project at Abbey Road if I wanted to.
Yes. And that's the thing,
that's
is
the
you
type
need
of
to be,
dude I
yeah,
am, you know?
You need to be creative about it. Not
weird like that.
Listen, you know, no independent artist can afford studio space and pay the producers and the mixers and the masters and the engineers and all the other crap to put it together. You need to be inventive. You need to be creative with like how you're recording things. There's a freaking mattress up against your wall and a sheet that's covering, you know, an open end of the room. Some people would think that's non-traditional and that's not okay. Yet I would never be able to notice. I'm not in the room with you.
Let me show you what this looks like. This
Let's
is my
see it,
panel.
Man.
This
Dude,
panel
yes.
is a cork board. Hold on. This is a cork board right here.
That's
that
a
I created.
Million dollar cork board right there.
That was to put on the back of one of my fish tanks.
Dude,
but I use
I love
it for
that
sound
so
also.
Much. That is truly incredible. And honestly, that's an inspiration to people that think that they need to pay the big bucks. for a crazy recording space to put things all together. You need to be creative. You need to watch your pennies. Like the fact that you're just doing this in one room and you can keep churning out new music, that's what makes it special, because every single record has its own feel and its own experience to it.
What people will find is that the lower down a technology curve you go, the more it can seem kind of mystical or magical at times, and in
100%,
ways,
man.
Not always. There's I love Daft Punk. I love all kind of things, Skrillex,
sure.
or whatever. But there's all kind of things you can do. People are impressed by some of my lo-fi producing, where yes, it's indie electronica, but the mixing is a different variant, and it's just got something spooky to it, they say. But there's so many different looks, and I hate to try to create a contest. I think this American culture is brutal and awfully overly interested in dominance,
Oh,
hierarchy,
yeah.
and
No,
weirdness
I
like
fully
that.
understand. No, really, like, I don't know how often you get into conversations with other artists or people that are doing similar things to you, but sometimes it feels like a pissing contest in terms of like, oh, I got this brand new microphone and oh, I went to this recording space. I feel like the person that does it on the cheap or does it in the least amount, that's more impressive to me, because all that matters is the final product.
I can take you another step farther. And with grunge, what we've been finding is that some of these artists really believed that it almost, like, whether they sounded air quote good didn't even matter to them almost. It was
Oh.
like, can you feel something? Yes or no?
Dude, that's what it's all about. That's what like the ethos of grunge music is the non-perfection, is the corners are smudged. You know what I mean? There's
Well,
something really nice
Flood
about
was
not,
right, the producer.
Totally.
He,
There's something really nice
Flood
about
said
not
if it was
perfect.
shitty, a so-called shitty take could be the good one, is what Flood says.
Right. But that's what gives it the vibe. Like when I think of, 90s grunge or whatever, it's not the super polished production that like blows my mind because it's so crisp and I can hear a pin drop. No, man, it's the screams, it's the screech, it's me even being able to hear your fingers slide up the guitar neck. Like people edit that stuff out, and that's not okay when it comes to the genre.
What's so interesting is you find these digital plugins where they say, hey, put a perfect scratchy sound onto your recording.
No, do it yourself. Do it
People,
yourself. Figure it out.
they call it artifacts.
Yeah.
The so-called noise is referred to as an artifact on the sound. With Beatles stuff, it's like, oh, why does it sound like a warm blanket, as you were referring to, Austin? Why does it give me that feeling like it came from the physical world? Like it's like a warm blanket or something.
100%, man. I love that so much. And listen, not all of your music is like that, because I know that it was recorded in separate spaces. But the fact that, as of recently, it has that really warm, inviting, yet reverbed and slightly psychedelic sound, so hard to do, so hard and so complicated. And you're doing it, man. That's awesome. So I want to know, obviously, there's a ton of lyrical content on this record. Are there any stories that stemmed from real life that translated to the songs?
Yeah, so the story of Egyptian mythology, where when you die, your heart will be weighed against the weight of a feather. That I became acquainted with that famous story from the Sesame Street special about ancient Egypt that was popular in the 80s, where Cookie Monster was going on a quest through ancient Egypt, so in a
Sure.
museum. So that's actually where I first heard that, just to get it nostalgic there for those lyrics there.
Nice.
And I was just trying to talk about a metaphor for thinking about spiritual things, basically, is all it was.
I love that, man. Listen, like, and I'll say this 100 more times, your stories never cease to amaze me, because they come from real life, but so many people write pop songs about love, or I was walking down the street and this stupid thing happened. But like, you get so in depth based on what you watch and what you consume and observe. That's what makes your music stand out.
For the longest time, I didn't have a single song about anything love, romantic, or sex, or anything that, because I
Yeah.
thought there was enough of that going on already.
Way too much. Listen, there's a time and a place. If a super specific situation is happening to you, dude, write it down. It'll make you feel better. If you want to create a song about it, there's nothing wrong with that. We're never going to stop having new love songs. But you still think outside of the box when it comes to your songs.
I like when people write songs about their feelings they have for a cat.
Right.
I like songs about life. I like songs about so-and-so, my dad died. Like, I like life is actually a bigger part of the frame than just the romantic part of it.
Totally. Totally. Okay, I have a couple more questions for you. I want to know, where did the album title come from, Serpent Seed?
Yeah, so that was something I, excuse me, that was something I'd seen on YouTube. Basically, it's so interesting to me. There are like a couple of different theories, you know, just crazy YouTube. Like,
Oh,
reminds
yeah.
me of Coast to Coast with Art Bell to look at the stuff I look at sometimes.
Okay.
It's a paranormal kind of thing almost. So there are people who they believe that there was a literal descendants of the devil, and they call this a serpent seed myth. There's
All right.
also there's like a mythology surrounding the tribe of Dan, where some people believe that there were archons that mixed some of their blood in with normal humans. And
Oh.
there's legends of Naga that were. The thing I want to tell the people is the following. If you went into a world with lizard people or anything like that, I'm not saying that anyone has or hasn't. What I'm saying is that what you should consider is that they would be reptiles, but they would be people. So
Sure.
what we would be mammals. So we could be judgmental and say, oh my God, that's a mammal, like a rat or anything, but we wouldn't be animals.
Yeah.
What we are is people. So what these people that may have been ancestors of mine, very deep ancestors of mine, perhaps, I'm not sure, but they might have been, they would have been reptiles, but they would have been people, not anything that we have to consider to be threatening necessarily, is what I would say about that.
Super interesting.
That's what I name it after, is
Yeah, of course.
My ancestry, because my surname comes from the Isle of Man, which is
Oh, okay.
situated in the Irish Sea, and there
Nice.
are certain legends and also Freemasonic lore of Atlantis
Right.
is something that goes into the title. Atlantean came from the Freemasonic lore surrounding Atlantis.
Got it. Got it. Lastly, is there anything else about this record that you think people need to know before they listen for the first time?
What I'd like you to know is that this record's important to me. It's a statement that I think it can touch your heart, especially the song Serpent Seed, which is the final track. That is in the key of C, so it's all white keys. And what I
Yes.
find is that it's very uplifting. And I think that if you listen to that song Serpent Seed, that I believe that something will touch you, and that you should consider that there's some reason to go on and keep living, and that God has a plan for you. If you feel that you're down, that you shouldn't feel that you're out. And that's what I want to tell the people.
Right. Dude, amazing. Well, as always, it is a pleasure getting to talk to you. Please let me plug the record for everyone out there. If you didn't know who I'm talking to, this is Wildcat Hawkins. The record is called Serpent Seed. And as always, we'll have the links so that you can listen and share and follow along. Obviously, there's going to be more. I literally don't even have to ask anymore. I always know something else is coming. I'm excited for it, whether it's a live album or something else that even sparks your interest in the next week. I won't be surprised to see it, but I'll be happy to listen to it.
I love teaming with you because we create content together that tells my story.
Yeah, man.
But I want the people to understand this art. So I will be back to talk about this suicide prevention initiative, Natural Causes.
Very cool, man. Very cool. Well, listen, I hope you have an amazing rest of your day. I'm glad we could start it out on a high note. And I know we'll speak soon. So I'll talk to you later.
Yeah, see you around, Austin.
All right.
See you
Take
around.
care. Bye-bye.